Good morning, everyone. So Jonah had tried to flee from God because he didn't like the assignment that he was given. And he, as we keep saying, he believed God. He knew who God was. He knew that God was full of grace and full of mercy. And that if Jonah did the assignment God called him to go to the evil Ninevites and even, you know, pronounce God's judgment, God was probably going to have them repent and was going to accept them and receive them and forgive them. And Jonah was just so angry about that. He didn't like them, didn't want them, didn't consider them worthy to be forgiven by God. So he runs away, and God then, through what it looks like is killing him, saves him. Fish comes, the boat, they throw him over, the fish swallows him. He's 3 days in the belly of the fish, and he sings or proclaims the psalm of thanksgiving we looked at last week in chapter 2. And then afterwards, it says that the fish spit Jonah out. He's been saved. He should have been dead. He should have died for rejecting God's call, God's command, for disobeying God. But God is at work to save the Ninevites. Along the way, he saved the sailors. They turned to him in worship, and he has saved Jonah, his life, certainly, and woken him up to sin that was in his heart that was separating him from God. So what will Jonah do now? Maybe more importantly, what's God going to do now in Jonah? The end of chapter 2, Jonah had returned to God. He'd made vows that he would worship God. He'd make sacrifices to God. And then he did worship God right there in the belly. But he'd fled from God. He turned his back on what God wanted him, what God told him to do. How will God react to that level of rejecting God's word? To a person who has failed to follow him. You know, it's really interesting, I think, throughout the whole book of Jonah. I know, again, I'm sure I'm sounding like a broken record on this, but I think it's a really important point, and so I'll probably keep saying it. Jonah believed God. That wasn't the problem. The problem wasn't to say, Jonah, if you just believed God, then life would be wonderful, and that's all you need to do there. His problem was that while believing God, he didn't follow God. And God knows that that's not good for Jonah. All these pictures of Jonah dying through going down into the depths, even going down to Tarshish and going down to the depths of the ocean, and the weeds gathering him around and a big fish coming and swallowing him. All these pictures of death, but God has spared his life. Now what is God going to do with Jonah? Well, again, to give away the end, see that God is a God of second chances. That God will relentlessly pursue his people whom he loves, a disobedient people. God will relentlessly pursue. Turn with me, please, to the book of Jonah. This morning we'll look at Jonah chapter 3, just verses 1 through 3, really even only the first half of verse 3. We're going to see what God is going to do and how Jonah is going to react here to all that he's been through. We see that he has some type of repentance, of renewal in his prayer. He's giving thanks to God for saving his life. What's he going to do? Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through the first part of 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. This is God's word. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 1, the book starts with, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up against me.' But Jonah fled." It's very similar wording as we have in our passage this morning in chapter 3. We see the results now of Jonah's repentance, as Jonah repents. And there's parallels here between chapter 1 and chapter 3 in these first three verses of each, with a very important difference you can see up here. In chapter 1, God calls Jonah, verses 1 and 2. In response, Jonah flees from God in verse 3. Now, in chapter 3, after all that has gone on with Jonah, after he tried to run and God saves him, we see again, God calls Jonah, verses 1 and 2. Now, in our passage this morning in chapter 3, Jonah obeys God, verse 3. In his repentance, his belief hasn't changed, his actions have. His response to God has changed. God's grace to Jonah has somehow changed his heart. Jonah may not like God's assignment still. He may not be doing this like all happy about it. In fact, I think we'll see as we get to chapter 4, Jonah's not happy about any of this. But he obeys. He joins his belief together with his actions. And he obeys God. He hears the call again, and isn't it so beautiful? I think it's so beautiful that after all that Jonah has gone through and the ways in which God saved Jonah, miraculously saves him, God again comes to him and says, "Okay, now let's start over. Go to Nineveh and speak my words against them." There's no sense here of God shaming Jonah, of God shaking his fist at Jonah, of saying, "If you'd just done what I told you to do the first time, none of this would have happened." God's not saying, "I'm going to give you a second chance, but this is your last chance." Reminds me that way of the father and the prodigal son. When the prodigal son comes back, the father doesn't say, "Well, all right, you can live here, but you're going to live like the servants. And I'm going to make sure you know every day how awfully you treated me." He's not going to make him pay back all the money that he spent. Now, I'm not suggesting, you know, we need to, that this is all conclusive for how we deal with our family relationships. But the point of it is, here is God the Father, total forgiveness, total acceptance, total receiving of his children back to him when we turn to him, of complete second chances. And I believe we see throughout the scriptures, third, fourth, fifth, hundreds and hundreds of chances. God calls to Jonah again, and this time Jonah obeys. Now Jesus also calls us to come and follow him. He calls us to believe in him. And just let's just remember the basics here, right? God is our creator. God has made us and all things. He is, words like sovereign. Like we are all belong to him as his creations. And yet we looked at our loving creator, our father, and we chose our will over his will. We chose our way over his way. And so we have all broken our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And just like he technically could have, I mean, he can't because it's not in his character, but he could have said to Jonah, that's it, I gave you a chance, you ran away from me, goodbye. He could say to all of us, hey, I created you, I gave you a chance, you chose your own way, goodbye. That's not who God is. Even when we turn away from God, when we don't desire God, when we don't believe in God, when we don't surrender and submit to him because he's our king, when we look at our broken relationship with him, and even if we want to fix it, can't, God says, I love you so much, I'm going to fix the relationship. And so he sends Jesus Christ, his only son, to die on the cross in our place, so that everyone who believes, not who earns it, who works harder than other people, or who works off a debt for so many years, no, who just believes in Jesus Christ, their sins are washed away, they are made righteous in God's sight and brought back into a healed relationship with God for all eternity. And in that relationship now, that comes about by God's grace through faith, which I'm saying is believe, right? In that relationship, Jesus bids us to come and follow him, to do what he does, to have his will be our will, to have his words be our words, that we no longer put ourselves even on the throne of our own lives, but Christ is on the throne of our lives. But when Jesus calls us to come follow him, he calls us to come and die. Die to ourselves, die to our own wants, die to our own desires and passions, die to the ways we want to spend our time, we want to spend our money, the choices we want to make, the things that we say are good and feel good and make us happy, and we surrender all of that to Jesus as our King. Now, it's not always so simple to know what that means. I don't think it's often that we're driving down a road and we want to turn right and God suddenly speaks in the voice that we can hear and says, no, no, turn left. I don't think that is often how God works. But he has given us his word on how our hearts are to be disposed towards him and towards every single person that we encounter. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means love him more than we love anything else. And then love our neighbor as ourselves, even if they're Ninevites. Love them. To love someone means that you work and do everything to bring about their good and their blessing as you understand it. And you work to understand what is truly for their good and not just make assumptions about what you think is for their good. Jonah was ready to die when he offered his life for the sailors. He was ready to die when he obeyed God's call to Nineveh. He didn't know how they were going to respond. Following Jesus isn't necessarily nice and quaint and, you know, oh, I just get to hang out with Jesus, you know. He calls us to surrender. Not in order to be saved, please, but because we are saved and we are his. Following Jesus is surrendering our lives. It's death to ourselves. But here's the weird part. I love Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales. In other children's programming that he did, he talked about the kingdom of God is the upside down kingdom. The first is last. What? It doesn't work. What are you talking about? That's what he says. And he says, if you want to keep your life, you got to give it up. What? Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 39. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross, a sign of death, and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So when Jesus bids us come and die, come and follow him, it's not because he's mad at us or he's mean or cruel. It's because he knows that's the path of life, and he wants us to have life and have it to the full. Yes, here and now, as a little foretaste, a little nibble beforehand of what heaven will be like, right? And God gave this as a second chance to Jonah, even though Jonah failed God. Oh, how have we failed to follow God? Maybe we failed to follow him because we've never followed him before. We never had a start in following him. We've never believed in him. God loves you. He loves us. And he shows that when he stretches out his arms and dies for us on the cross. And he calls us, come, believe in him and follow him. How have we failed God? Maybe we've been following him, but recently we've been resisting him. Maybe not in a specific way like Jonah here, like there's a specific assignment that he's given us. But But we've grown complacent in our walk with him and our love of him and our trying to know him more and more, to know how he wants us to live. Maybe we haven't been, just to summarize it all, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've just been sort of ignoring God. Maybe we haven't been loving our neighbor as ourselves. They will know we are Christians by our love. And so what do? We wake up and we repent. We turn to God and call out to him. Have we failed to follow God? Yep. We're in good company. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And 1 John 1, 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've all sinned. And so we all need to recognize that we need to repent. And we're repenting to a God who gives grace to those who humble themselves. We repent, we humble ourselves, and we return to God, just like Jonah did in chapter 2. It was experiencing God's miracles and salvations that brought Jonah back. It was the experience that our God is a God of second chances. So let us come back to him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. You are so gracious and merciful. Would you please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our eyes and open our ears to see and hear you, Jesus, who you are, who we are, why we need you, why you are to be worshiped, believed, and followed. Lord, please do not let our faith be dead, but let it be filled with the good works that you do call us to, O Lord God. May we not just be hearers, but also doers of your word, O God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.